Welcome to the Funny Mummies podcast. I'm your host, Hattie Ashdown, and mum to two feral boys. Join us as I welcome a different mum every episode from the world of comedy, as we give no judgment, no filter, but all the laughs on this crazy ride of parenting, work, and being bloody great women.
Happy Mother's Day! Happy Mother's Day! Happy Mother's Day!
Welcome to the Funny Mummies. I'm your host, Hattie Ashdown, and with me is my co-host, of course, it's Gemma Beagley. Good evening. It's an evening. We're doing an evening one. We haven't done an evening one for a long time. I mean, obviously, you could be listening in the morning, in the midday. My headline today is I managed to get my kids to school early, like before the gates are even open. Twice this week.
Did they open the gates for you? Like Greg Wallace turning up to the gym half an hour early and them letting him in because he's a celeb.
What was funny was my boys went, "Oh, we're really late." Really late. They're more used to that, like seeing no one there because everyone's gone in, but it was actually so early there was hardly anyone there. That's a whole nother topic I can get into about getting them to there on time. But it basically just took me getting up really early. Do you have a headline? If you don't, I can carry on talking about getting my kids to school.
I paid so much for my first pair of glasses this week that I would expect to be able to read people's minds with these glasses, look through walls, maybe carry out an entire MRI scan. I cannot believe how expensive glasses are. And you know what? I'd rather just not see.
Right. First of all, I've seen the new glasses online. I've seen you publish an official photograph of you wearing the spectacles.
The launch photograph, yeah.
I'm a little bit annoyed because I wasn't consulted that this was even going on. I didn't know that glasses was even a thing that was happening. So, I would have liked to have been consulted. I could have recommended places that are cheap. Where do you think I get mine from?
Where do you get yours from?
The joke shop. Joke shop.
I'm surprised that you haven't got the eyeballs that don't come springing out of them.
Well, for those that, well, just go on my Instagram page, at Hattie Ashton, you'll see I like huge glasses. These are from an online company made in China. I think it's, what is it, Firmu or something it's called. They're just cheapy online ones. But I mean, you get what you pay for. They're not like, they don't fit properly around the ear and stuff like that. But yeah. Anyway, let's bring on our guest who also wears spectacles. What a wonderful link. And it's a very special day for us because it's only our second one of doing one of these where we allow a man onto the podcast. You know, you've got to give the dads a chance to be funny. And so it's another dad special, which we haven't done one for, maybe it was over a year.
Definitely. Yeah.
And so please welcome guests. We are a funny dad special. And our funny dad is Australian born comic, Bill Murray, resident MC, dad of two, Eric Pohl.
Hello.
Hey.
He's a bit blurry, but he has got glasses on. Do you wear them all the time, Eric?
Oh, yeah. There was no turning back. The moment I didn't... It turns out I've needed to wear glasses like most of my life. I only started wearing them about 5 years ago.
Oh, really?
I went for a driving test and they were like, oh, read out the license plate. I'm like, oh, okay. X, Z, 5. I'm like, just a sec. So then they like went and got a measuring tape. Like, hey, here's the legal distance that you need to be able to like read a license plate from. Can you read it now? 5, 9. Yeah. And they're like, okay, we'll do the test, but you need to go and get glasses. So I went and got glasses. And it was like going from like VHS to Blu-ray. It was amazing.
Was it?
Yeah, well, I remember when I got them, I was like, oh, do you know what? Okay, for driving, fair enough. When I go to the movies, that'll be really handy. Yeah. And I put them on. I was like, good God, the world's so beautiful.
Did you cry like one of those videos?
Yeah.
kids that suddenly can hear and they cry.
Do you know what? I bloody love those videos. I love those videos. And I love a video of an army man returning from war and the dog hasn't seen them. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, they're great. Oh. Yeah, those and dogs being reunited. Oh.
What were you going to say? Oh, dogs being reunited. You see, I've got a problem with military, so I don't. But I get the, you know, returning thing is nice. Yeah.
It doesn't have to be from the military. It's not like the dog only has respect for people who've done military service.
But in my head, I reconcile it that they were like forced in. They were forced into the army because someone got them in a shopping centre and said, "You know what? It would be great for you going into the army." And so they're young men, and they've just been sent to somewhere awful, and now they've done their time and they're out and they're reunited with their great dad. And you know what? I'm here for it. Mm-hmm. That's the way in my head. That's the story I tell.
You've played out. I love that you've played out a whole backstory. It's not quite the same if they had to go and do, I don't know, 6 months for BT or something somewhere.
Exactly.
Right. Oil rig. Okay. Eric, I've got a couple of icebreakers for you. Not that you need it, but it's a nice little quick way of people to get to know you. Don't think about them. Just quick questions. First of all, what's your favourite kids show?
Bluey.
I knew you were going to say that.
Those, of course. Like, what other show? Of course, Bluey. It's the best. I don't know, I'm Australian and biased, but like, I think everyone agrees. There's no competition.
Do you remember when my kids sort of like first met you and I said, I was like trying to get them excited by saying that you like got the voice like the, like someone from Bluey, and they were like, they said to me afterwards, no, he hasn't.
Imagine Bluey's dad's been in England for like 22 years and the accent's softened. Yeah, that's it.
Early night or laying? Which would you, which is your?
I prefer early night. Early night. I can't do lay-ins. I feel like I'm wasting the day. I don't think I've slept past like 9 o'clock since I was a teenager. I can't do it.
The hormones. You've chosen
the wrong job, haven't you, Eric? If you don't like a late night, surely.
Oh no, I like a late night too. But then I just get really tired. Like I did gigs. I did gigs last night. I got home. I missed the last train, so I ended up getting buses and got back at around 3 o'clock.
Oh.
8 o'clock this morning. Time to get up. My brain just won't. I can't. I like 5 hours and I'm up. I can't do it. I can't sleep in.
You just bing. Are you a napper? Do you nap?
I have inherited the ability to do like a 10-minute power nap from my dad. I've always marveled at him. You'll be like talking to him at like a barbecue or something, and then you'll be talking in a group and you just look over and just pass out, and then you'll come back and he's just back in the room and he's like, feels so much better. He's just always had the ability. I mean, I can't quite do it like that. I can do it on a train. That was the one good thing about going on trains during COVID, was that you could have the mask on. It didn't matter if your mouth just lay open.
Yes.
Wasn't it?
I remember that. Okay, next one is kind of similar to that, but it's like, what do you hate doing the most? Getting the kids up in the morning, as in going to school, let's just say, or putting them to bed?
Out of the two, the most stressful is definitely going to school.
Yeah.
I mean, they're both, look, in the grand scheme of things, they're both fine. But like the school, it's that added pressure. It's the time element. It's the fact that they don't want to listen to what I have to say. I've tried everything. Countdown. All right, guys, 1 hour. We've got 1 hour until we're out the door. Then like half an hour, 15 minutes, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And still want to get the shoes on. Don't want to do it.
They just don't have the concept of time, do they? So why would they? When you've got somebody else telling you, what was it? My friend was saying today, they have the exact same problem with their kids, similar sort of age. And he was saying, like, I look at my daughter and I realise, oh my God, it's me. And my dad used to say, you're going around looking like a tit in a trance or something.
Yeah.
That's a very Essex thing. Okay, beach holiday or Butlins?
Beach holiday. I grew up very on the coast, and beaches were, I mean, I realised how spoiled I was actually.
Yeah.
Having that environment growing up. All along the east coast of Tasmania. The water was fucking freezing, but still went on the beach.
Yeah.
And got your wetsuit out. I'll go. I'm not even really sure what goes on at Butlins, so maybe I'm not going to be fair. No.
Okay.
Give me a breakdown. What's Butlins?
You've done it as well, haven't you, Gemma?
Yeah, I've done it. Well, I did it, didn't I? And I was so ashamed, Eric. I was getting my eyebrows shaped the week before, and the woman said to me, "Oh, you're going on?" I just said, "Oh, yeah, I'm going next week." She says, "Where are you going?" I thought, I can't say it. I can't say Butlins. And I said, "Oh, I'm going to Centre Park." She went, "Oh, which one?" I thought, "Oh, no." I've said this and I can't back up. I went like, suffer? Thinking just, you know, she just didn't offer, but yeah, just made up. I went, suffer?
Yeah. Oh, they've opened one there, have they? Wow. Exactly. I didn't know. Yeah.
Shit. Yeah. It's what is it? What is it? What is it? Well, my lasting memory from Butlins, so I was two when we went, and everything was always, it was all included, all the activities, and all he wanted to do was go on the Peppa Pig boat thing, that plastic thing, like in a supermarket. And that was the only thing you had to pay for. The only thing you had to pay for was just like quid, 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 quid. And I thought, you know what? I could have just changed up 800 quid and gone to Asda every day for 5 days and just sat him on that. And what I don't understand as well is that it's expensive. Like, I don't see how something so expensive can be so shit. Like, it's just unbelievable. Unbelievable bad value for money. I'm on one today about value for money.
Yep. And it was a Peppa Pig ride as well, the worst of the kids' fucking shows.
But
things always smell. They always smell like a kid's done a shit on it. There's just that the smell of plastic is just like a dirty nappy smell.
Some pig with a shitty nappy is sat on it, but
yeah, like an eroded stone. It's just got shit sort of ingrained into it. Decades.
Yeah, so look, I want to say I'm not bad mouthing Butlins. I guess what I should have said was beach or holiday park, because I think all families are sort of different in terms of, like, some people want that sort of like organized, like laid on thing. And then some people want, like, no, you've just got the choice of either the beach or parks, or do you know what I mean? Like, sort of do your own thing.
Well, I mean, when I think of a beach holiday, I think of my childhood, which was. Yeah. Like our family shack on the East Coast, which didn't have a telephone until like, I think 2004, something like that. Not connected to the water mains. We had two big sort of water tanks, just rainwater, basic electricity, no TV. And you spent all of your day on the beach or out in the bush, like digging a hole.
You see, that's a little bit different to going to Margate Beach. in this country. But
there's nice beaches here, though. There's great beaches here.
Yeah. And
it's just there's too many people. That's the problem. Like, Tasmania's got 500,000 people in it.
Wow.
So the beaches are great, but then you go on to like I think Friendly Beaches on the east coast is like 5 kilometers long of like untouched white sand, and you might see like another family like halfway down the beach and that's it, you know, whereas here it's just different things.
So you had an awful childhood holiday.
Sounds hideous.
It's so hideous. We really feel sorry for you. Have a moment silent. Okay, last warm up. Class WhatsApp, yes or no? Which actually,
I mean, just for
are you
the,
even on it?
Drama.
Are you on it?
I am on it, but I am not referenced on it at all. It's like, well done, ladies, end of another term, and there's me and like one other guy. What can you do? I'm not going to call it out. I'm a lady. Yeah. I'm a lady on the WhatsApp group. That's fine.
Could you not find an ally, Eric, that you could message privately going, oh, can you just do me a favor? Can you just go, oh, and dads?
Like, just yeah, but even that, like, I had enough of that in soft play or, like, you know, kids' classes and things where that the leader of the group, like, and thanks to, you know, all the mums and the dads.
Mm. Oh, really? He's
like, oh, fuck it. I'd rather not be referenced.
Oh, interesting.
That thing of, like, well done. Good for you for being a parent. That thing, I can't stand it.
And okay, so that brings me on to obviously lots of things I want to ask you about being before you became a single dad, if you don't mind me saying, you were the sort of what would you say that stay at home dad? I hate that because we don't say stay at home mum, do we? But would you say that?
I guess I mean, I'm not precious about that stuff. I was the main carer, I guess.
Yeah.
That's the way to see it. I gave up my day job when Dougie was 9 months old and started looking after him. And then we had Audrey, so I started looking after her. Now she's at reception now, so it's been a solid chunk of time. Dougie's 8. I spent the past sort of 7 years looking after them, taking them to all the stuff that you do. I mean, my favorite was always soft play centers. You can get involved, can't you? Get in there. And
what your favorite in what way? Like, just that was your go to place, you mean?
Yeah, definitely. In terms of so many bonuses, tiring them out.
Yeah.
I can actually engage in it. Whereas, we went and did, nursery rhyme groups and music classes and, like, the baby sign language as well when they were really young. But after a while, you're just seeing the same, like, 5 songs. It's all just the same 5 songs in different groups, and it just drives you a bit... Oh,
that was the one that just went through my head, literally. Yeah, and the Sleeping Rabbit, the Sleeping Bunnies one.
Wind the Bobbin Up was always a... Yeah. That was a banger. I didn't mind when that one came on. That was a good one. You get behind that one.
Did you... another friend of mine who he's not anymore, he's not the stay-at-home dad, but I used to meet up with him sometimes for coffee, and he was like, oh, I can't be bothered to like make an effort with the mums, and he was like, but also he said they don't come up to me because
no,
and so no, how did
can,
you
that
find
is it? One thing I would say, it can be very lonely and isolating in that way. Because I think from my perspective, looking at, a lot of the mums whose kids were sort of similar ages to my kids, that was their special time. That was their thing. Like, it was a special time for me too, but they had more of a shared bond with other mums. So I almost didn't want to encroach too much as well. So
yeah.
If there was ever, obviously if someone just came up and started chatting to me, which did happen, it was great. And, our kids play together. Awesome. We can have a chat.
So did you make it? Was there any other dads out on the...
Oh, yeah, there are a few other dads. So during that time, I spent a lot of that time in Crystal Palace. And there were a lot more dads doing what I was doing around there. I did have friends, but also I had quite a lot of mums who were friends as well.
Yeah.
I'm not going to... I think my point was, if I saw like a group of women with their kids, I'm not going to try and like, hi, go in and, maybe I'm just socially awkward like that. Or
I basically wanted to get through that baby bit without actually making any friends. I was just like, do you know what? Actually, the best thing is if I just, I just want to retain what. Yeah, I just could, yeah. So I would not have been approaching any kind of groups of mums or dads or babies for me.
And you end up seeing the same group of people, through no sort of intention. You go to the, the soft play centres are open Tuesday and Thursday. Well, I'm going to take them there. You end up seeing the same people, week after week. So you end up, it almost becomes awkward not to say anything.
Yeah. I think I it won't surprise you, Gemma. I wanted to obviously make friends because I'm sort of new to the area as well.
But when you had Hux, you live in somewhere different, right?
Yeah, that was all right because I was more further into South East London. I was in Brockley. So it's like you're in Crystal Palace, it was like a bit more sort of cool area and I had my NCT chums. Yeah. But then when I moved here, I didn't have them. They sort of came once and then it was like too far for them. And so it was like starting again. And I just, I was a bit like, I didn't feel like they were my people as well. So that's why when
it is a very different area.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Like, it's a much safer area.
Yeah.
Like, I remember looking at the crime statistics for where, so we lived in Gypsy Hill and then went across to Thornton Heath. And I remember looking at the crime statistics for where I'm living now for like May 2019, you know, go onto the Met Office website and look up the crime statistics. Oh. And within a few mile radius of my current postcode, I think for that month there had been like 50 crimes reported. And I looked at the Thornton Heath, my old postcode, for that same month, same radius, 250 crimes reported. So it is a much nicer area for that, but it's also a lot more conservative.
But which that's the payoff we get, Eric, isn't it? Is that we have to put up a little bit of like, well, let's not talk about it. But I think I've talked a bit about it on this podcast about certain opinions of having a them they teacher and all that kind of thing. That wasn't.
I get a lot of sort of grandparents talk coming up to me in like playgrounds here, and saying, "Oh, you're from Australia. Good immigration policy in Australia." Very strong.
What a bizarre thing to say
to an immigrant.
To an immigrant. It's such a weird, to start off a conversation with something that contentious. It's just like, in a way, I'm kind of like, fucking hell, you know what? Good for you. In a way, just like, you know, just going in, do you know what? I fucking hate Stephen Fry. Imagine that just being like the first thing you say to somebody. It's just really.
It's clearly just on their mind, isn't it? That's like exactly the forefront of their mind the whole time.
You'd think it'd be something a bit more vanilla.
And they assume that I'm racist. It's like, oh, I can talk to you about this.
Right, yeah.
Come over here.
So what do you say? Do you go, you know, when they say that, do you say,
In those times, I've been here too long. I get afraid of social confrontation.
Oh, I know.
So I just sort of go, oh, okay, I gotta go. And then, just hang around with my kid again. Well, you know, find where they are in the playground. I don't know. Should you just confront them? But I'm also like, they're always just old people as well. Like, what the fuck's the point? What is me confronting them about their shitty opinion going to actually achieve? They're going to come away like angry and upset. I'm going to come away angry and upset, and they're not going to change their opinion. So I just don't bother anymore. In my 20s, I probably would have.
My mum pretends that she's deaf, but she says, I'm deaf. I don't know what you're saying. She's just, that's what she does. I'm deaf. She gets it a lot on the bus. She said she'll get on the bus and she gets picked with, you know, some black kids will get on and, you know, you get some old woman mumbling something. Mum's like, I don't know. Terrible, isn't
it? There are a lot of like, that generation, like the sort of generation who are in their 70s and 80s around here are so sort of stuck in their own little time bubble.
Mm.
Like, I remember getting on a bus here recently. And this old lady was sitting on the lower deck and she sort of made eye contact with me and waved her newspaper at me. Just kept on waving. And I had earbuds in. I was like, what? Maybe I recognize her, or do we know each other from somewhere? Like, what? And I took them on. She was offering me her newspaper. She's like, do you want to read the newspaper? And she's getting really angry that I wasn't responding. We're like, take the newspaper. Take it from me. And I was like, oh, no, thank you. I'm okay. And like went and sat down. And then like we got to the next bus stop and another old person came on and you're like, do you want the newspaper? She's just offering it to everyone. And then this other old person like, oh, thanks very much, and just took it off. Like, have I just witnessed some sort of cultural exchange that I've just not been party to?
Free newspapers that have been around in London for about 25 years.
Yeah.
It's just, I'll just chuck it away, just get another one. Make do amend mentality, isn't it, Hattie? Well,
yeah.
You're not.
Yeah.
Oh, God, don't.
You're listening to the Funny Mummy podcast.
Yeah.
Now can I go back?
Yeah. Because this is going to sound really like, oh, I talk about you a lot. I don't mean like that. But like, because I talk about my friends that are single. And single parents, I mean. And I'm like, oh, they've got this situation, they've got that situation. And I was telling a local friend, I was like, oh, you know, my friend Eric, blah, 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 who got two kids. And I was saying about you having a new job. And I was like, you know, it's good because now he was saying he can, am I allowed to say this on?
Yeah.
That's
fine. Yeah.
You were saying, oh, you know, I can take the kids to school and I can pick them up. And it was just really funny to me because she went, oh. And I just thought it was that thing of that perception of it's still that's ingrained, even in someone who's she's younger than me, of like, oh, it's a man and it's a dad and like, oh, I can do that. And it's like, she wouldn't have said, oh, if I've been describing a single mum, I don't think, is what I think.
Yeah.
But I might be wrong.
I mean, I think you're right, but it's I think I've been quite naive in my perception of this stuff. Who was I speaking to about it a few weeks ago about, you know, statistically, was it Callie Beaton I was talking to about it? She's saying, like, statistically, like, 2 years after parents separate, on average, most men are seeing their kids every other weekend. And that's still, like, a huge percentage of,
oh, really?
Of fathers. And I was fucking shocked. I thought we'd really made quite a lot of progress. I thought my scenario was actually pretty normal.
Well, yeah.
But maybe I've just had my head in my little liberal cloud. So I don't know.
God. So, no, I think, I don't know. I think you are an exception. I think in my sort of circle of knowledge, but I guess my point was like, yeah, just in the attitude towards it.
Oh, sure. I mean, yeah, you do get, it's a weird.
Have you had the reverse of like, you know, like, because I get that I've had the, who's got the kids when I'm, you know.
Oh, God, yeah. The most common thing that I'd get, I get this less now that the kids are at school, but if I, you know, pushing the kids around in a pram, take them to a class or something, I would get like, oh, stuck with the kids for the day, are you? Mum for the day, are we? That sort of thing. And you just go, and then just walk off. Because, I mean, like I was saying about the grandparents in the playground, what am I going to do? Just go, okay, yeah, great, and just keep going. But, yeah, I don't know. I think it's, my parents were very traditional. You know, my dad worked really, really hard. It's the doctor, worked long hours. My mum worked really hard too, but she did the majority of the care. My dad always made a really big effort to spend as much time with us as he could, but he was on call as a doctor for a very long time.
Was your dad a fun dad? Would you describe, you know, the perception?
Oh, yeah. Well, he still is. He's a very funny guy, and he was always a good time. It's very intense too. He's a very intelligent person. But I mean, this might sum him up. He, you know, worked very hard, very sort of academic. Favorite movie, Coneheads. And he like quoted constantly. As kid, that was his go-to, like, favorite movie.
Okay.
Was he a fun dad in terms of, like, playing and things like that? Yeah, I guess he was. I try and play with my kids as much. I think that's like gold dust, isn't it? You don't get that time back. I think that's the big thing with Toy Story, isn't it? When I think we're reading an article about it where they said that the reason why it affects parents so much is that they realize they're the toys and they're going to, one day, their kids aren't going to want to play with them anymore.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just like, the fun dad thing doesn't have to be that you're actually playing, whatever that means. And I guess what I'm gonna get at is that there is always that stereotype that is the dad that is that's the fun one, you know, and the mum,
one who'll let you get away with stuff, or
and it's like hiding sort of behind mum and you know as people know, I'm going for the separation as well, and I had the thing the other day, my youngest said to me, right, mummy, two problems. Number one, you don't tickle us enough. Two, you don't play games with us enough. And I was like,
But that's the really shitty thing, isn't it? Because children are a bottomless pit of, they just want constant attention if they can. They will.
Yeah.
And they will suck the joy out of any, like, how many times have you done something that makes your kids laugh and then they go, do it again? And you're like, okay. And you do the thing again. And they're like, again. And like, all right. And you do it again. And like half an hour later, you're like pleading with them, please, can we do something else? I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
And then they just like, well, why wouldn't you? Like, why wouldn't you just keep doing this thing?
It's true, though, isn't it? We can learn a lot in comedy through it, definitely. And in the same way, they just like the same episode of as well. Like, mine will watch an episode of Bluey that they love, and they rewind it even before it's finished. They love the repetition.
Amazing.
Or they rewind a particular bit in Bluey.
Stuart Lee used to do a bit about his son, and obviously, you know, Stuart Lee's arguably the greatest stand-up we've got in this country. And it's funny to talk about the repetition as well. But he talks about his son, that the only thing that his son will laugh at is when he puts something on his head, like, you know, his favourite toy on, Stuart puts it on his head, you know, and he's just like, all this that I do here, and it's just like, you know, basically, I'm a comedy genius, but the thing that, you know, it's that sort of reducing to putting a teddy bear on my head, you know.
But, yeah.
I love it. And they, I think they, I mean, I don't know about your kids, but my kids find it incredibly funny to hurt me. If they're
to hurt you.
Flying elbows like into the ribs. And I think I ham it up and then they think it's a game until they actually just end up hurting me, and then I have to sort of explain it, like, oh no, please. Especially Dougie, he's a unit now. He's always been big, but he's like, he's just turned 8 and he's in like 10-year-old clothing.
That's a big boy.
Yeah, he's always, I mean, he was born, what was he, 9.9 pounds when he was born. So like 98th percentile. I remember meeting up with everyone in NCT after all the babies had been born in the group, and everyone else is holding these little like fetuses, just cradled in their chest, and I had Dougie like splayed out across my arms. He looked about 3 months old, and that was quite challenging for him when he was around 2, because he started walking normal sort of probably like 13, 14 months, really normal, but he talked really early on. But obviously, so you'd been like a play group, and he was a 2-year-old who looked around 4.
Yeah.
And so he'd have like kids, a 4-year-old would come up wanting to play with him, and he would behave like a 2-year-old. And he'd have to go up to the parents and be like, he's 2, he's just massive.
Yeah.
And then they go, oh, right, okay, fine, sorry. Before you like, look at my really weird 4-year-old. No, he's just 2. But yeah, he can, if he wants to, he's learning jujitsu at the moment. And
is he?
I dread the day. Yeah, I think it's quite good though. Of all of the things, I just professional wrestling is the one that I'm terrified of him sort of unearthing one day. I know he will. Some kid will introduce him to professional wrestling.
You'll get called up at school.
Have you had, you know, I wonder whether it's a being the dad and that thing of, this is a feature sometimes we do called backseat parenting. And I just wonder from the dad point of view, whether you have any sort of like, or also, and, you know, being single dad, because I'm not really getting that yet, but I don't know if that's to come, you know, sort of like unwanted parenting advice.
Do you mean from my ex, or do you mean from just other parents?
Just from school, from randoms, from ever. You could be ever or now.
Oh, sure.
But yeah, if you want to dish anything from your ex, please do.
So Dougie was an awful sleeper for years until really around the time Audrey was born. He would wake up, a good night would be he'd wake up twice in the night, and he still to this day wakes up at 5 o'clock. That's just how his body works.
Oh gosh.
Like me, can't sleep in, poor bastard. He's got that gene from me. And I remember speaking to a friend's mum who how's it going with Doug? Like, we're really struggling with the sleep. Like, we're just zombies at the moment. To do all this. So have you tried giving him food before? You're like, yes. Yes, we have fed our child before. Yeah. But just before, like, before we go to bed. Yes, I know. I know it was like.
I bet they were saying porridge. I bet they're going, give him some porridge.
It was porridge.
Yes.
It was porridge.
Funny. Is it because it weighs them down and so they can't kind of toss and turn? Like, what is that?
You're just sleeping so much. They become a lead weight in the bed.
Yeah.
I don't know. Something to do with slow releasing food, isn't it? So it's like, I don't know.
Hang on. Don't people have porridge to give you energy? It sounds like a load of old shit to me. People have porridge in the morning. It's not to bloody send them off into a sleep, is it?
Yeah, I mean, they've basically, those people have just, they've had a big lunch before and got really tired afterwards. They've just used that logic.
Exactly. You tried putting something really boring on the TV. You tried that?
Yeah.
Have you tried him sitting in a board meeting? Have you tried him that? Yeah.
We all have our little. Did he get off to sleep all right though? He's good at going down, is he?
Not to me.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. He's always to be honest, he's always been good at going to sleep. Unless he's going through a growth spurt. He's going through proper growth spurts at the moment, and he gets his calves hurt.
Oh, yes. I remember growing pains.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But can see, like, I have to. So I'm in there at like midnight, like massaging his calves like a physio, like some sort of sports physio.
Yeah.
Is that just boys?
No, because I had it really bad as a child. Really bad.
Do too.
Yeah.
And I always remember that I used to go, "Mummy, can you get that special cream?" And then years later, I worked out, I think she was just putting baby lotion. It wasn't anything special, but it was just something to, you know, placebo.
It
obviously worked. I was like, well, that's so my mum. Because, like, there isn't anything. So I remember going to the chemist when Buster started having it, going, "I need this cream, this special cream." I was like, oh, no, it was just... Do either of you have any kid logics this week? So anything where your kid has just had a better way of looking at things?
I don't know if it's a better way to look at things, but I think it's a sort of only logic that kids can really come up with. And I got two examples from one from each kid. So I think the Audrey, my youngest, is 5 now. She came in to me. I was brushing my teeth in the bathroom. It's about 3 weeks ago, and she was doing that classic, like, little kid thing of wearing my shoes.
Aww.
I like, do you know, like, I remember doing, I'm pretty sure as long as there have been shoes, little kids have, like, put their parents' shoes on. Like, this is hilarious.
Yeah.
So she, like, came in, like, "Dad, look at my feet." And I went, "Oh, your feet have really grown." And she went, "Yeah, I grew them in the garden." It's like, yeah, that's, you've taken that logic of growing things to its sort of natural resting place. And then the other one was 5 o'clock in the morning. Dougie comes in, Dad, I'm like, what? This is like, I think in December, it's just pitch black, cold. It just, what? What is it? And he goes, "Are bones dry?" I'm like, what? Yeah. What? Are bones dry? Like, well, no, because they're, like, covered in, like, meat and blood and stuff. Like, and then he goes, "Well, why do they say it's bone dry then? Why do they say things are bone dry?"
I mean,
like, yeah,
that's one of my favorite logics ever.
But what I don't get is why I had to continue. I should have just gone, "Yeah, you're right, that's crazy." But in my head, I was like, "But no, genuinely, why do they? Like, why do they call it bone dry?" And I was like, "Well," I said to him, like, "Well, you know, when you have, like, a roast chicken and the yeah. bones are dry inside, that's because all the moisture is being cooked out of the bones, so they're dry. So when people say something's bone dry, it's because they're talking about that." And they're like, "Oh, okay, so if we cooked ourselves, would we be dry?" Like, wouldn't,
all right, like, Hannibal Lecter, let's just slow exactly.
I was like,
all right,
but that's cannibalism, Dougie. Anyway, what's cannibalism? Like, why the fuck am I talking about cannibalism at 5 o'clock in the morning with my fucking 7-year-old at the time? Like, what's happened to me? So, yeah, it was a quick 5 o'clock lesson about how cannibalism's bad.
Oh my goodness, that's a good one.
I think I might have said this one before. My sister, my dad used to tell a story of my sister, same thing, dead of night, coming into the bedroom, and he saw the door open and this little head come bobbing around the bed, and she's knocking on his head, and he think, "I'll just ignore it, she'll go away in a minute." Knocking on, it's like, "What?" He says. She says, "Does Superman go on holiday?" where does Superman go on holiday? Just absolutely Butlins. Needed to know. Well, yeah,
he was just keeping her awake.
Yeah.
What's that? What did he answer?
Yeah. No, I think he probably swore at her and
yeah. Oh. This is where, if there's anything you'd like to promote, Eric, you can. If not, you don't have to.
Well, you can find me on social media, on Instagram. I'm Eric_Pohl. That's ERIKPOHL. I'm a resident at Angel, so I'm there a lot. So you can always come and see me there. Come and say hi. Or come and watch a show. Even better.
Yeah. It's the best comedy pub in London. I'm gonna promote, because this is going out Wednesday before Leicester Comedy Festival, and I won't say how many tickets I've sold, because it's I'm meant to give the illusion of, you know, it's really great. But it's really great. It's a work in progress show. This will be the only fourth time I've done it, and it's totally different to what I normally do, and it's been going really well so far. And it's called Chatty Ashdown, and I'm on 4 o'clock on Sunday the 8th. It's the 18th, isn't it, on Sunday at Pete's Sierra, which is a big difference venue. Please, if you're in Leicester or around, please come, because it's very much an audience participation show. So it's not one of them where it's like, "Oh, there's only a couple of us, we'll just have a little chat." It's like, I need audience. So yeah, sorry, that's my plug. And I also would like to just, I have to sort of, I don't know whether saying dedicate the show, but in the comedy world, we have had a bereavement. So I just wanted to dedicate today's show to my dear friend, Darren Maskell. I can't even believe I'm saying those words. Yeah, more on that another time, maybe. Yeah, thanks very much, Eric and Gemma, and at home for listening, and keep listening, downloading, and yeah, being great parents. You've been listening to the Funny Mummies podcast. Thank you to my co-host today, my guest, and today's show is edited by Scott Kingsnorth. Thank you so much for listening and supporting this show. If you'd like to support it more, I know you can do even more. You can follow us on Instagram at funnymummies_podcast, and that'll tell you all the updates. You can also support us by buying us a coffee or something on one of these fangled things called Ko-Fi. I'll give you the whole address. It's ko-fi.com/Hattie_funnymummiespod. Got that? Thank you for listening, subscribing, and taking the time for you.
Happy Mother's Day! Happy Mother's Day!